the question that often comes up from students is, what do you mean when you say dynasty?
Right.
What do you mean when you say dynasty?
See, the king, stay the king, all right? So how do you get to be the king? Y'all don't know how to play chess, do you? So nothing, man. Look, I'll teach y'all if y'all want to learn.
Dun, 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 dun. The Brown Man returns. Number one Browns fan on this show, baby. Dynasty Wire Season 3, Episode 2. Who knew that we would have this dude back on? I did, but y'all did. Best episode I think I've ever done, really, featured this guy. And then I got another guy on here. Notice I'm not saying names yet. I'm going to give him a good introduction. Like, they don't know what's about to hit them. So basically, this is season 3. We went over it on the last episode. Huge things to come. Announcement, I have joined the Dynasty Nerds family, which is super bomb, man. Excited for great things to come. Rankings, even writing a little bit of articles again, which is cray-cray. You know, just some crazy things on these prospects. All kinds of stuff to come in the future, man. These two dudes are guys I knew before I was here, Dynasty Nerds, and wow, they're at Dynasty Nerds, which is crazy. You know, welcome to the Dynasty Wire show on the Sleeper Wire Network. I am the Hose Draft Genius, and as I said, the Browns' number one fan, the Brown Man returns, Mr. GMP33 at Dynasty Price on Twitter, one word. Garrett Price is in the freaking building, folks. And certainly much more of a Browns fan than Garrett, from what I've read. We have Mr. J-Wack, Jared Wackerly FF on Twitter. Man, look, we got Garrett, who's part owner of Dynasty Nerds, and Mr. GMP33, of course. And then we got J-Wack, who's the director of Deviant Scouting at Dynasty Nerds. This show, it's going to go off the rails, so just buckle up because you're going to fly out your seat. Welcome, boys. What's up?
How's it going, man?
What's up, man?
It's going so good.
Finally made this happen. I'm pumped. I'm so happy, man. You joined Dynasty Nerds that – we're back together again. We were writing over FF statistics last year during draft season, so it's only right we're back together at the Nerds now.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
I was thinking that too, man. I'm glad you sang it, because then I would have had to.
Well, dude, I felt like y'all were avoiding me, kind of like the Browns avoided all those wins all those years.
Oh my gosh.
God, that's how I felt. So, I just had to say it. That's been on the tip of my tongue. I've been thinking about that all day. What can I say? But man, dude, this has been huge, like a huge thing that I want to do. I had it marked on my calendar, circled, and man, I couldn't have had it at a better time had you both on than the beginning of the season, because this sets the tone, and I'm all about setting the tone. Some things that set the tone, though, and I'm sorry to be straight to business, is rookies, right? They set the tone for your fantasy season, because if you miss on a round one rookie, you are screwed, my friend. You just wasted a golden opportunity at some cash money in a prospect. My question to you to start off the show is, I'm going to put a little drum roll right here. Your favorite rookie and why? I just want to sneak peek because we're going to bring this up later on. But who is your favorite rookie as of right now and why? My favorite rookie is DeAndre Swift because Georgia Bulldogs, baby. And he is one of the best, if not the best, complete running backs I've seen come out of Georgia. Todd Gurley and No'Shawn Marino are right there with him. But, I mean, DeAndre Swift, he's just a dog, man. And, like, literally, he's a Georgia Bulldog, but he's a dog in the field. So, who is your favorite rookie? And just a little sneak peek on why.
For me, my favorite rookie is probably Keyshawn Vaughn. It's not because he's necessarily like my 1-1 as far as the running backs go or anything like that. But I feel like he's a guy that's been overlooked in the process, for a lot of people. I've seen, now that people have trimmed down, he's in most people's top 10, but before ETN and Najee and Chuba, before they all decided to go back, there were very few lists that I saw him in the top 10. And so I feel like he's being a little disrespected, but I think he is an all around talented back, can do a lot of things, plays really with a chip on his shoulder, which is really what I like to see. He's mean, he's grouchy. And I like that out of my running back. So I'm excited about Keyshawn Vaughn.
Yeah. I'm excited about Cam Akers. Everybody knows this is a strong running back class. If you follow me on Twitter, you know I'm all about Cam. Unfortunately, he wasn't surrounded with a very good cast at Florida State, so I feel like he's a little bit forgotten and undervalued at the moment for how good he is and what his ceiling is. So he's definitely my favorite player, and I'm going to be targeting him, I think, around the middle of the first round, which is where I expect him to go.
So I have Cam Akers right now fourth for me, right? And I also have running backs. Okay. Out of running backs. Vaughn is ninth in my running backs.
Ninth?
Yeah, dude. I'm not a Vaughn guy. I'm trying to be sold. That's why I wanted you to speak about it, right?
Oh, we will talk. Kind of...
it's producing more at Vanderbilt in the SEC, man. That's tough to do.
Yeah, but he's just not – I don't know. He's just not my guy. See, my running backs right now, which they change every day. It's Swift, Jonathan Taylor, Dobbins, Akers, my boy Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I feel like you can't go wrong with any of those guys.
It's right?
Just, it's going to be so landing spot players. Dependent.
But then it gets weird, right? Then I start acting weird, and I put like Zach Moss at 6, A.J. Dillon at 7, Eno Benjamin at 8.
Up, hold up. Pause. A.J. Dillon at 7?
Yeah, dude. I don't play games.
Oh man!
Okay, I can't even comprehend right now how you could have AJ Dillon over Keyshawn Vaughn. Explain this to me.
I just like what I see more, man. It's like it's not nothing towards Keyshawn, you know. It's more just towards. I look at AJ Dillon and I'm like, damn. Okay, you got some. You really do got some. And then I look at Keyshawn Vaughn and I'm like, I don't know if you got something. I mean, it's like, I feel like, I don't know. AJ yeah. Dillon, I've been just watching him for 2 years. And whenever I watch him, like, I kind of have the same feeling I had. Now, he's not even in the same realm, so don't even compare them. But whenever I watched Miles Sanders last year at the beginning, before everybody started getting hype on Miles Sanders, I looked at Miles Sanders and I said, man, he has that almost that instinct, right? Just that something you can't teach. And whenever I see that, and then I look at Vaughn, now I do have to watch Vaughn a lot more. I will admit to that. But whenever I look at Vaughn, I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't know if he could be a featured guy, every down guy.
You're not going to like this, but I'm not even sure AJ Dillon's going to make my top 15.
Oh my God, dude.
Running backs?
Yeah, running backs.
Gosh, dude, why?
Ooh. Here's the thing. He's not explosive. He, like, literally all he has going for him is he's 240 pounds. Like, other than that, he's not a great pass catcher. He doesn't have excellent vision. It's fine. It's fine vision, but, like, nothing special there. And for a guy that size, he doesn't break a ton of tackles. And he was playing against ACC defenses. I just don't see it.
This is true.
I think you're just hating on me. I think that's look, we're going to come back to it, dude. We're going to come back to it. Because, look, I was hoping you were going to say, what's your deal with Eno Benjamin, you know? Because a lot of people don't like Eno Benjamin. They compare him to, like, a poor man's Paul Perkins or some shit, which I think is a bunch of BS. But, dude, I love Eno Benjamin, bro. Love him. High volume workhorse right there. I think he had, like, 550 carries or something. He's a dog. We're gonna get more into it, man. I didn't want to even see. That's what happens whenever I rattle off. I piss people off, and their feelings get hurt, man. It's like,
well, good. That's the fun of draft season.
So draft season, right? That's what we're in right now. What I like to do in draft season, my favorite thing to do, is to buy those second-year players that everybody's given up on instantly, right? That's my favorite thing. Like, literally, if I had to write a book and I had to label my top five things to do in Dynasty, number one is buying second-year players. Why not? These are players who the recency bias is all that people have to judge these people on if they didn't do the process themselves. I love this. I love it. I love it. The guys I'm buying right now are N'Keal Harry, Andy Isabella, Bryce Love, guys who we have seen produce at an elite level in college that, yeah, they're going to take a little step. Yeah, they might have had injuries this year. Yeah, they might have played with a quarterback who's going to be probably top five this year and had a crowded wide receiver core with a veteran who's probably going to be in the top 10 of all time in Larry Fitzgerald whenever it's all said and done, overall career-wise. I mean, but these sophomores, I guess you call them now, or rookies or whatever, they're just prime targets. If I have a late, like, if I got 2.14, right, because, duh, I win all my leagues. If I got 2.14, I'm going to try to move that for my boy Andy Isabella. Why not? Why not? Because people are like, oh, Andy Isabella was the fourth wide receiver on the Cardinals this year or whatever. So? Do you not remember the surge that he took before draft season last year? The surge. Like, how quick did he move up people's boards? It was insane. And then he runs like a 4.3 or whatever. He's just a monster. So my question to you is, if you're doing this, who are you targeting? Who are those second-year players that you're targeting?
My guy that I would be targeting and am actively targeting is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. The narrative is really, really bad on him right now, and somewhat deservedly so. I mean, he had some opportunities to really step up in an injured wide receiver core, and it was like he was invisible out there. They didn't throw him the ball. And I need to go back and watch some of those games to see if that's him not creating separation for Wentz to throw him the ball, or if he was that low in his progression as far as, you know, constantly the second, third, fourth read on the play, or what happened. But it was not a good look, with Philly last year. But all of the reports I'm seeing were that he was being taught all of the wide receiver positions. So not just your, you know, prototypical X, but he was also learning the slot. He was also learning the Z. So he's learning all of these wide receiver positions. And there's a lot of times where receivers in their first year, there's a lot to take in, a lot to learn, a lot to adjust to. So I'm going to write it off as more of that than anything else. I still love the tape I saw in college. I love what he did in the preseason. He looked really good in the preseason. And so I think he could end up being a steal come draft day when people want those picks.
Okay. I got a few of them for you. I would try to target TJ Hockenson. I think he could have had a much better year than he did this year. There are quite a few touchdown passes that just kind of slipped out of his hands. And, you know, of course, he wasn't as healthy as he could have been too. So, you know, TJ definitely showed on the field, I think when you watch him, that he's capable and he definitely belongs. So definitely a buy for me. Paris Campbell and Hakeem Butler are both buys for me as well. You know, Dynasty's like playing the stock market. If you can buy these guys, you know, when their value is a little down and when you think it's going to go up later, that's when I'm buying. So I'm all about it. I think you can get these guys for cheaper than what they're going to be worth down the road.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with most of everything y'all said. I mean, Paris Campbell was my wide receiver one last year, rookie drafts. That was just – that's my brand.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You loved him.
I love him, dude. He's probably in my top three favorite players.
He was tearing up training camp before he got hurt.
The one thing that I don't get, though, and, God, Garrett, we're going to butt heads again, but that's what you're here for, I guess, is – you know, Jaws, right? J.J. Arcega-Whiteside lacks all the burst in the world. I think I have more burst while walking than he does. That's the thing that I don't like about him. I didn't like about him in the process that I took last year and what I saw this year, because I think burst is the most important thing whenever grading a wide receiver, because if you got good burst, you can excel at everything, really. You just got to learn the little techniques and learn the little ins and outs of certain things. But if you bring that burst, that's something that, like, so few, that's why A.J. Brown was so good, right, this year. Because every single thing he did, he had that burst. That's why Debo was so good this year. Every single thing he did, he had that great burst. J.J. just – he plays slow, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, he's not the fastest player, but he's a technician. So he's not going to beat you with, you know, blazing speed or incredible acceleration. But he's a technician in the game. And so he runs really crisp routes. And there's nobody, I think, in this class that we just had in 19 that can high point the ball better than he can. He shows those late hands, which I like to see out of a receiver. And he boxes out like he's playing the post position. So, you know, I think those are all things that can and will translate. It's a matter of, are they going to get him the ball or not?
So you said Bryce Love, DG. Or does that mean you're not a Geis fan?
Oh, I love Geis. Love him. Okay. Love him. But thing about Bryce Love is that with a guy like Geis, right? So we have Geis who's had on his right knee, he tore his ACL. I think he sprained his MCL on his left knee, had to get his meniscus trimmed on his left knee, and then he had a knee strain on his right knee. I'm probably missing a couple injuries, but whenever you have a guy like that, you're going to be very hesitant to give him the workhorse role. And Bryce Love is somebody who they took in the fourth round, which is kind of the middle of the draft. That's still kind of an important round from what I think. And what we saw him do at Stanford whenever he was at college, he was behind Christian McCaffrey while he was there. Christian McCaffrey left. Boom, Bryce Love comes in. He had like, a 2,000-yard season right out the gate?
Crazy, yeah.
I think this guy can really, really be there like – gadget guy almost, right? I feel like
he's definitely a different type of running back than Geis, so they probably would fit well
Chris
together.
Thompson plus, right? Chris Thompson is going out. All that they have on the roster is Adrian Peterson, Bryce Love, and Geis, if I'm not mistaken. So that right there tells me, okay, Adrian Peterson he's on the last year probably of his NFL career, in my opinion, but definitely his last year in Washington. Love can make some noise, I think.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he can
free.
Do.
He's free.
Yeah, dude, he's free. That's what I was just going to say. You can probably get him for dirt cheap.
He's free. So I'm not going to talk too much about my buys. I just wanted to kind of pick your brains, you know, get the juices flowing, because I know last year me and Garrett were talking about buys, and rest in peace. One of his buys was Dante Pettis, from what I remember. And, I guess the value was there, but, dude –
In my defense, I don't remember that because I think I was tired and delusional. Two, and that's the excuse I'm using. I'm sticking to it. It was pre-draft. So after the draft, I'm a big Debo guy. Before the draft, and once he went to San Francisco, he became the wide receiver one, in my opinion. And so I pushed him after the draft. I was always pushing Debo. So I think we recorded this, though, before the NFL draft.
Dude, Debo is like a monster.
Okay? He's a stud. I love Debo.
The thing I don't understand about Pettis is, okay, you picked the 12th pick of the second round. Your best – you kind of look like – I don't even know. You look like you had something a little bit here and there. But then you just come and you just bleh every time you're on the field. No separation. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense to me. I just don't get it. So, yeah, just had to call the man out on that Dante Pettis thing.
Yeah, not my best
Anytime I can get to bash Dante Pettis, I'm a take because I never liked him. I never liked him. That's just how it was. You know, I just never liked him at all. Don't know, but I know he's probably not going to be anything next year, which I'm pretty happy about. because now I don't have to listen to all the Dynasty Dante Pettis truthers say, oh, Dante Pettis, yeah, wide receiver one for the 49ers. No, get out of here. But they may get a wide receiver one, right? They may get one out of free agency. You have a lot of people in free agency who are going to be great, great buys in fantasy based on their landing spots, great buys for their NFL teams. Some of the receivers we could see move places are Amari Cooper, A.J. Green, Robbie Anderson, even Emmanuel Sanders, right? Emmanuel Sanders, an unrestricted free agent. I don't see the 49ers re-upping on him. Rashad Perryman, all them. So my question to you, and since Garrett probably needs a little bit of time to cool down from that roast session just now, I'm gonna let Jared take a stab at this one. So free agency, right? Consider everybody, not just wide receivers. I just named it just to kind of just let you know who's there. But who are some guys that are free agents this season that can improve their stock drastically by going to the right situation?
Off the top, I would think Tyler Eifert for sure.
Interesting.
There's quite a few teams that could use a tight end like him. You know, one that comes to mind is the Patriots right away. Everyone kind of talked about them possibly trading for him during the season. So I wouldn't be surprised if they went out and signed him or someone like him, but that would just be match made in heaven. Robbie Anderson, he'll probably stay in New York. I don't know. What do you guys think about that? I've always liked his talent. I always thought that, you know, he's a good wide receiver, a good deep threat. I would like to see him stay with Darnold for one more year, but I'm not sure. Those are two guys that come to head.
Hard part is if you get Darnold, that means you get Gase too. And unfortunately, that's been a recipe for disaster. But I'm with you. I like Robbie Anderson as well. I do think he's a talented player. One guy for me that I would say I would really like to get some shares of, because if he gets in the right spot, I do think he could really flourish, and that would be Matt Breida. He's a restricted free agent, so he's not an unrestricted free agent. But part of what's limited him, he has been banged up at times, but he's been on the field. Dude's been an absolute stud. He just doesn't get a lot of touches, doesn't get a lot of carries. Even if he's just a 1B to someone's 1A running back, where he's doing a lot of the passing game and that kind of stuff, I think he could be a better version of some of these third down backs that we have out there right now. And I think he could become a consistent flex spot, maybe even elevate into an RB2 status at some point in the season, a PPR role.
It's interesting, the running backs that are free agents, you know, the big names, Kareem Hunt, Breida, and Melvin Gordon. It's almost like if I was them, I would say, man, I wish I had one more year on my contract, because this class coming in, let me tell you.
Yeah.
They have a Melvin Gordon and Jonathan Taylor. They have another Kareem Hunt somewhere in there. So it's just a little wary. Going towards Robbie Anderson that Jared spoke of, man, I would love to see him, and it's going to be weird because all this speed, but in Houston, I would love to see him compliment DeAndre Hopkins. Fuller can't stay healthy. He just can't.
Right.
Kiki QT, where did he go? It's like Guess Who, and his title, you lost it in the couch or something, and you can't finish the game because you don't know where this dude's at. I mean, they don't have anything except Hopkins, right? So I like to see him there. I like to see him with a young quarterback where he can flourish a little bit more. Kansas City would be another one. Sammy Watkins, I believe, is also a free agent, if I'm not mistaken. I could be totally wrong, though. Could be totally wrong. But put him with Mecole and Tyreek. Oh my gosh, please. Oof. I'm salivating at the thought of it.
I think Robinson's the free agent. Watkins is still there, I think.
Okay. So that was just I don't know, just some little ideas. Now, guys that could hurt their stock in free agency, the guys that come to mind for me are the quarterbacks, right? We have a lot of quarterbacks changing potential scenery this year. We got Drew Brees, which is going to stay in New Orleans. But then we got Dak. We got the man, the myth, the legend, Ryan Tannehill, right? We got Thomas Brady. We got Phil Rivers. I mean, dude, we even – Oh, we even got my man, Mr. 30 for 30, Jameis Winston. We got so many quarterbacks that can change teams. It's unreal, dude. It's unreal. But then we also have this quarterback class who is probably the best of all time. This is probably the most, the greatest quarterback class of all time. You look at it at the top, look at Tua, and you look at Burrow, and you look at my brain just started smoking. You got Eason, you got Fromm, you got Herbert. Dude, you got so many quarterbacks in this class that are so good. You got Jalen Hurts. You got my man Anthony Gordon from Washington State University. You got Jordan Love. You got Colt McDonald. Dude, I could go on and on. I could even go to Nathan Stanley, which y'all don't even know who that is probably if you listen to this.
Iowa, bro. Big Ten people here.
But still, I'm saying – this quarterback class is so deep. Now, look, they ain't all going to hit, right? I mean, probably five of those guys are going to hit, three in year one, if I had to guess. But these quarterbacks, if they don't go to the right situation, it could be said that their career could take a drastic turn in the wrong direction instantly. If they go somewheres and a rookie is drafted and they're looked at as that vet leader there and they could be done.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Tom Brady's going back to New England. I think we can all come to that conclusion. I think everybody's just kind of blowing that out of proportion for the media clicks.
I think he goes to Vegas.
No.
And I'm a Raiders fan, man, and I hate it. I hate Brady. He's the person that I despise the most in the NFL. I might not be a Raiders fan if he goes to the Raiders. I might have to jump ship and become a Patriots fan. Boo, Brady, boo. I mean, y'all have to be excited, right? Browns fans have to be excited if Brady leaves. Play him at least like?
But they don't really. They don't scare me. I don't know.
Don't y'all play him at least like once a month? I mean, once a year or something like that.
I mean, we're in the AFC with them, so we play two out of every 3 years. I think
two out of every 3 years. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There you go. So
I'm just worried about getting to the playoffs. That's what we're worried about now.
So what do you think is the problem with the Browns, basically? Because so you got the stars, right? And people were saying this guy was a good coach, which I'm not gonna say nothing. So you got Jarvis, you got Odell, you got Chubb, you got Hunt. I mean, what more could you ask? You got Baker, you got David Njoku, who barely played whenever he was back healthy.
It was a mess, dude. I'm so glad Freddie Kitchens is gone. That's all I'm going to say. Just from reading reports, listening to the coach, like ex-coaches that were in that coaching staff, like Todd Monken, you know, is reported as saying like that was one of the most unorganized coaching staffs that he's ever been a part of. They would game plan certain stuff during the week, and they wouldn't even run it during the game. It was just a mess. So I'm glad they decided to clean house, even though, you know, that seems to be Haslam's thing now. But, you know, you got to keep trying and swinging the bat. So hopefully you got the right one here. I like Stefanski's scheme. I think it fits Nick Chubb's strengths well.
Oh, yeah.
Brought in a good O-line coach, Bill Callahan. So we'll see, man. Sky's the limit. They got the talent. We just gotta put it together.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that happened in the Browns. We could do an entire podcast about what's wrong with the Browns. You know, but you even had so many distractions this year too. And you know, just as the Browns were starting to gain momentum, just as things were starting to get going, the whole Myles Garrett thing happened. And I think that completely derailed any momentum that we had going. We had multiple games we had won in a row, but that game didn't even feel like a victory when we were done. Like it was so deflating. So, and that was just the biggest, most newsworthy thing of all of it. But I think there were so many things behind closed doors. I mean, I remember even seeing a clip of Baker Mayfield. Freddie Kitchens is telling him something on the sideline. Freddie walks away and Baker's like, that dude's an idiot. So, I mean, it was just a circus. I mean, it was an absolute circus. And, you know, Jarvis and Odell are talented players, and they're good for camaraderie when things are going good. But I think they, even they were a little bit of a distraction this season. So, I mean, there was a lot of bad things that happened. So, we're looking forward to turning the page and getting things going in 2020.
I rattled off all those talented players and forgot Mr. Myles Garrett. How is that possible? How did I forget that? I can't believe it.
It's all good. It's an offensive league.
Must have hit you in the head.
I mean, for real, what? He's the best player on the team, or he was.
Yeah, when he's on the field, he's a stud.
Now this question, now watch out. Don't get too aggressive. Is there a chance that Baker is a fraud?
Statistically, he was one of the worst quarterbacks this year in the NFL, one of the worst starting quarterbacks. But no, I don't think that he's a fraud. I think it was a little bit of a product of the system and the situation that's around him. He's still a young quarterback. He needs good coaching. He needs good scheme, just like any other player. And I think it was all wrong last year. So hopefully Stefanski can put – you know, the right system in place to help out a young quarterback like him.
Yeah, he had an awful season. I mean, there's a lot that went into it, though. And Jared, I remember you even did a thread like halfway through the season looking at all of his interceptions. And there was a good 2/3 of them that were off a wide receiver's hands. So, I mean, there was just a lot of stuff like that that was just anything that really could have gone wrong did go wrong. Our left tackles were atrocious all season. The inside of our line was pretty good, but our tackle situation was really, really bad. So you could tell Baker was not comfortable a lot, really struggled in the early part of the season of kept trying to scramble out to the right instead of stepping up in the pocket. He fixed that during the course of the season, but you could just tell there was a lack of trust there. And that's tough when, you know, after, you know, you got about 2 seconds, and if you don't get the ball in 2 seconds, you're trying to figure out who you're getting hit from.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting indeed. Well, now that we have all the Browns talk out of the way, right? Now that we talked about the Browns and
they'll come up again.
Got all of the guest spirits down, right? Everybody's down in the dumps now thinking about the Browns. Well, look no further. There's something you can look forward to now, and it's this commercial. What's up, everybody? It is your boy, Draft Genius, and I am coming to you today to talk about my favorite site right now. It is expandtheboxscore.com. It literally does just what the name says. It expands the box score, right? This is where I go for all of my stats, any sport. I mean, they literally have college basketball, NBA, minor league baseball, college baseball, major league baseball, NFL football, college football. They have everything, right? They have everything. If you're a visual learner, they have videos for you. They have podcasts for you. They have articles for you that you can read. They have DFS info. I mean, Andy Singleton really puts out a complete product here. It's just an all-around great value. You will not be disappointed in going to expandtheboxscore.com. Their new dashboard is just so user-friendly. They just have so many things for you to go and enjoy on this site. You just can't go wrong with it. This is the best site that I have been on in a long, long time. They're giving out a free 24-hour trial for you to check it out. Take advantage. Go for 12 hours, see if you like it. Then the next 12, go to sleep and dream about whether or not you're going to use this and how you're going to use it, because you're going to fall in love with it. There's no doubt in my mind. So check out expandtheboxscore.com for all of your sports data needs. Welcome back. It is the 2020. What does that mean? It means perfect vision. That means this is the perfect rookie preview. I'm kidding. We're not perfect, but we're going to be damn near close. Let me tell you right now, rookie preview starts. Boom. Super flex format for the quarterbacks. So put that in your notes. If you're listening to the show, probably I would get a fresh sheet of paper for those of you that write down and listen and jot all kinds of notes, because you're about to need it, and you better write fast or listen to this in slow motion. Okay. So who is the future quarterback one in the making, right? Future quarterback one in the making in Dynasty. We did this last year, and Garrett's answer, of course, last year was a cop-out Baker. But then I think he said somebody else. I don't know. I think we did
talk about Josh Allen was my other one,
right?
We talking rookie?
Didn't we talk about Gardner Minshew last year?
No, we talked about Josh Allen was the other one, I think.
Oh, no. I don't know what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking of you calling Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, that was more luck than skill, but yeah.
That was 100% skill. Don't even lie. Don't be so humble.
It felt good that I got the exact week right, too. I was like, bro, by week six, Mariota's out, Ryan Tannehill's in.
Well, what happens is that, you know, Mike Vrabel is an avid listener of this show.
That makes sense.
And he heard that and he said, God, that dude's smart. Let me see what I can do. So we're going vet and rookie. So I want a vet that is a future QB1 in the making and a rookie. So my vet would be Kyler Murray because that dude, I think he's not just a QB1. I'm not going to use him as a cop out, right? I think he's going to be a top five QB. I firmly believe that. I see that rushing floor. I see that, you know, if Kingsbury's college-style offense can keep growing with Kyler and keep him comfortable in that little environment, I think sky's the limit for that guy. So that would be my vet. My rookie would be Jacob Eason. That's my guy. Very, very impressed with what I saw with him as a freshman at Georgia whenever he was breaking Matt Stafford's records, and then Fromm came in the year after and broke them all again. So,
okay.
That's kind of the
I'll go with mine.
Yeah. Jacob Eason would be my rookie.
Okay. So I still like Jameis Winston as a fantasy quarterback. He's a beast. I mean, if he cuts down on half the turnovers, I think he could easily be in the quarterback one conversation. Oh, just hit my mic, sorry. But yeah, I love Jameis Winston still. Let's see if he retains his job. If he doesn't in Tampa, I think he's easily going to get a job elsewhere. And he's still only 26 years old, so he's still a young dude. He's got all the talent in the world, arm talent in the world. Just got to clean up some of the mistakes. And I think you got to.
What if he goes to Miami?
Anywhere, man. I still think he's a winner. You know, he's mocked a lot for his like pregame and locker room stuff, but
stealing crab legs.
Yeah, I mean, immature there, but I still think he's a leader and a winner and a really good quarterback.
Two wide receiver ones this year. That's crazy.
Yeah.
30.
I mean, we're talking fantasy football too. So
right. Two wide receiver ones. Yeah. He's excellent, man. Like two wide receiver ones. That's hard to do whenever you're throwing 30 picks. So then you have to take into account the touchdowns he throws and the actual production that he does with those 30 picks as well. Like, I mean, he had to have been, I don't know where he finished, but that's bad on my part, not being prepared for Jameis Winston coming with the heater to me, Jared. Okay. So
he finished fifth. So not like a crazy idea, but everyone's so down
that's
on
crazy.
Him.
No, yeah, you're right. You're right.
And then my rookie would be, I'm going to take the easy one, but Joe Burrow. I mean, 60 touchdowns. Dude's a beast.
Okay.
Enough said on him.
Right. No explanation needed. Right. How about you, Mr. GMP?
So my veteran that I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with Jared Goff. He was another one that things were really crumbling around him this past season. We saw the year before what he was able to do. And granted, this is not I think Jared Goff is this transcendent talent. And, you know, he's in a really, really good system. And when the offensive line performs well, he usually performs well. And so I think they're going to fix up some of those holes in the offensive line. I think McVay is probably very disappointed with how things turned out this year. Give that man an offseason in the lab. I think he's going to cook up some good stuff. I think Jared Goff is going to be right back to being a very fantasy relevant quarterback in 2020. And then for the rookie, there's a few different options, a few different ways we could go with this. I'm going to go Tua. I'm not as in love with some of the lower guys. I think you know, he's shown, despite not being the biggest in stature, dude plays big in big games. He's crazy, crazy accurate. He's mobile. We'll see how much that's hindered by this injury, if he's going to lose some of that or not. But I think just on arm talent alone, he has the ability to be able to be a QB1 at some point.
I love Tua. In fact, love him so much, I have a little surprise coming out soon.
Ooh.
About Tua. Dude.
I see that.
Yeah, it's a little piece of work, right? It's something, but delicious, mm-hmm. bro. Tua is just, God, man. If he'd be the, in my opinion, he would be the unquestioned number one pick if he was healthy and never got hurt, because he's done it more than 1 year, right? You got Burrow, who's a 1 year wonder, and you got Tua, who has done it for 2.5 seasons.
I mean, Joe Burrow's season before in 2018 wasn't atrocious. I mean, he was a starting quarterback, and it wasn't like he was like embarrassing or bad or anything like that. But you're right. I mean, Tua's shown a ton over the past three seasons. I think I would have had more fun with this offseason at the quarterback had they both stayed healthy, because it would have been a really interesting debate to see, what route Cincinnati went.
So who are you hoping slides, I guess, in a rookie draft at quarterback? Okay, so I would say a guy like Jordan Love in the right situation.
Mm-hmm. It's all going to depend on draft capital ultimately, you know. Right. It's going to be like a Daniel Jones last year where everyone was super down on him, but hey, he's a first-round pick, so if you're in a super flex and he's falling in the second round, you better grab him more in one QB leagues where if he's still there in the third round, like you have to take him there, I think. So Fromm's a guy that I would probably target, because I think he's going to be in the league for a while, and I could see him being a starter at some point.
Who that?
He can run a system and be a system quarterback, but, you know.
Dude, he's the perfect successor to Drew Brees. Perfect. Their playing styles are the same. Decision making is the same. They don't turn the ball over. He can, mm-hmm. Throw it all into that shoulder one time and make that huge deep ball throw. He might not be able to do it consistent right now, but man, I would love to see him with that Sean Payton. God, ooh.
That would be a good landing spot for him.
I could see that. I've been mocking him to New England. I think that would be a really good fit for him as well. Sit a year behind Tom Brady. I think that accurate, good decision maker, you know, smart. I think he would fit their model and their system very well.
I would become a New England Patriots fan. So, yeah. If that happened, I would become a New England Patriots fan, no question.
I like Fromm. I think he's safe. He's a safe pick.
Yeah.
Me too. So, speaking of safe, we're about to do something totally unsafe, right? What I want you to do is just no explanation, which is going to be hard. I want you to just say your top 10 rookies for the audience. Overall, your top 10 rookies, okay?
Let me pull up my list and make sure I don't mess it up.
Okay. I'll go first, just give you a little bit of time. So, top 10 rookies, Superflex format is what I go by. Just say whatever format you're going by. No specifics. Superflex format. As of now, my top 10 rookies, ladies and gentlemen, are Tua, number 1. Joe Burrow, number 2. DeAndre Swift, number 3. Jalen Reagor, number 4. Jonathan Taylor, number 5. J.K. Dobbins, number 6. Jerry Jeudy, 7. C.D. Lamb, 8. 9. Herbert, and 10. It's a tie between Henry Ruggs and Jake Fromm.
I'll go one quarterback just because you did super flex. So at 1, I have J.K. Dobbins. 2, I got Cam Akers. 3, I got DeAndre Swift. 4, C.D. Lamb. 5, Jalen Reagor. 6, Jonathan Taylor. 7, Jerry Jeudy. 8, T. Higgins. 9, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. 10, Keyshawn Vaughn. I got 11, Ruggs. 12, Edwards. Brian Edwards.
Man, I'm really low on Higgins. I don't know why, and I should be a lot higher, man. He's so good. He's so good, but it's just like there's so many good wide receivers in this class that I don't know. It's like And Bryan Edwards. I love Bryan Edwards. Love him.
Yeah.
But it's just like, God, like, what am I supposed to do?
It's deep. Yeah. I was low on Higgins until I did some more – I watched some more tape and just kind of noticed all his hand technique that he has. It was just different than any of the other guys that I've seen in this class so far. Dude, he's so good with his hands, and he's so good on the sideline, catching the ball, adjusting the balls, and making the catch. And Garrett and I have kind of talked about Higgins earlier today, and he's like deceptively fast for his size.
Yeah. If he comes out, I think he has the best hands in the draft too. Dude, if he runs a sub 4.4,
yeah,
he has to go end of round one in the real NFL draft, right?
Oh yeah, he'll go round one, I think.
If he runs a sub 4.4,
even 4.5, I think he goes.
God, first round. I mean, he is a beast. You know, that could be the receiver that New England takes a receiver first round. Wouldn't be out of the question. They pair him and Nikhil for years to come. And they have Edelman in the slot just chilling for however, I guess, until he falls apart because he never ages. So, anyway.
Did you get Garrett's time here?
I was trying to kind of take the spotlight away from Garrett because I feel like I've talked about him too much and the GMP 33 and all the little things. So, anyway, I guess I'll put the spotlight back on Garrett, I'll give you some time to speak.
Nah, man, I'm overrated. You don't need to worry about these ranks. But all right, so this will be. I'll do single QB as well. I'm gonna go DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins at 2, CeeDee Lamb at 3. Jerry Jeudy at 4, Cam Akers at 5, Keyshawn Vaughn at 6, Jonathan Taylor at 7, Jalen Reagor 8, Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 9, T. Higgins at 10. I don't know if you said 10 or 12, but 11 is Bryan Edwards and 12 is Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson, man. So your obsession, I must know. What is your obsession with Justin Jefferson? Because you've been on, like, the past 2 days, you've been talking about him a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot to like in his game. He's a really, really smooth route runner. Really good. Like, he's really good reactions. Like, you'll see times where Burrow delivers the ball before he's even looking, or he releases the ball before he's even looking. And Jefferson turns his head so quickly and is still able to make adjustments on the football. It's just really impressive to see some of his reaction time on some stuff. I posted today, I think this is probably what you're referencing. He's a sneaky good blocker as well. I'm not going to say he's like this elite blocking receiver or anything like that, but his willingness to get downfield, his willingness to mix it up with bigger players, you even see him at times running kind of this and I'm going to blank on the alignment, but basically where he'll come down and he has no problem mixing it in with defensive ends, outside linebackers to try to seal the edge. And so that's something that's encouraging to see. It'll get him on the field earlier than it would other players. So I wouldn't say I'm obsessed with Justin Jefferson because I think he's my wide receiver. Let's see, 6. Yeah, I think he's 6 for me. That'll definitely probably be higher than others.
Interesting. So, enough of the wide receiver talk. That's coming soon. We're still on running backs. So, I'm going to give you a situation, right? This is dark backfields. We did this last year whenever you were on the show, Garrett.
Yeah.
It's basically I give you a backfield, right? But this time is just rookies. I want you to tell me what rookie, and you can use the same name more than once. Just don't use it for every single situation because then I'm going to call you a loser. best fit. That's all I'm looking for, best fit. Right? Best yeah. fit. Here's a little throwback. Last year, we did the Miami backfield, right? And you said Kenyon Drake out of the whole backfield. Ding, ding, ding. Looks like you were right. Adam Gase sucks. rookie, right? A rookie was one of the choices, and we didn't choose a rookie there. So Colts backfield, we also did. Marlon Mack, the GOAT, right? He was there too. He got hurt this year and just let me down in a few ways, but he was the guy to own there. So basically, I want you to just tell me what rookies, and then the second part, we're going to go who's there and if they should draft somebody. So both of you, I want to hear just a name, and that's it. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, go.
Cam Akers.
DeAndre Swift.
Miami Dolphins, go.
Swift.
J.K.
Colts.
JK.
Akers.
The H-Town Texans.
Ooh. Probably Swift.
Edwards, Elair.
Jonathan Taylor for me. KC.
I'm gonna go later because I don't think they should draft a running back in the first two rounds. So I'm gonna say I'd either like to see Vaughn or Eno Benjamin there. Oh, Eno
Benjamin. I would love Edwards Helaire there actually. Eno Just Benjamin. His pass catching ability.
Yeah.
God, dude, I would love Eno Benjamin there. Jeez Louise.
He's okay. So little though.
Right, but it doesn't matter. It's KC.
Eh, you're right.
So. Now to the teams that already have an answer, but may be looking for a new answer. The Redskins, they have Geis and Bryce Love and Adrian Peterson, but they could also draft another running back because why? Because Geis is hurt every single game except two games. So basically, you have that. You have Bryce Love, who has not played a healthy snap yet, and Adrian Peterson is 64 years old. So they may get somebody new. What say you?
I really like Geis a lot, but I'm just as concerned as everybody else with all these injuries. So I do think there's a decent chance that they take a running back. I don't expect them to do it in the first two rounds, but anywhere third round and later, I could absolutely see it happening.
Yeah, I could see them taking one in the later rounds. I think they need to show up that offensive line a little bit early on in the draft. I wouldn't be surprised if they did go running back.
So who would y'all want to see there?
Oh, Keyshawn Vaughn.
Yeah, Vaughn would be a good fit there. I'd have no issue with that. I could see Zach Moss being a decent fit as well.
Yeah, it's a good one too.
Well, how about the San Fran 49ers? They have a guy by the name of Breida that is a restricted free agent. They have a guy by the name of Tevin Coleman who was a huge letdown and lost me a few leagues.
And they have Mostert.
And Jerry McKinnon. Hey.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't see them taking a running back.
I think they would either do all or nothing. So if they're going to take a running back, they're going to take like one of the best ones, like, and just not mess around with the position. And so like, it would either be like a Swift, a Taylor, a Dobbins, like it would be one of those guys, or I don't see him doing it until like fifth, sixth, seventh round.
Okay. Well, one team that isn't scared to take running backs early is the Seattle Seahawks from what we've seen. So the Seattle Seahawks, they have Chris Carson and Rashad Penny who both basically ripped apart their ACLs, if I'm not mistaken. They do have Travis Homer, but that's it. They're not going to run out Marshawn Lynch next year. They're not going to run out, Robert Turbin, the bodybuilder. They may take somebody else. So what say you?
I do think they'll address the position because, I mean, realistically, they're going to have to. I wouldn't be shocked to see them go the free agent route and look at one of these free agent running backs. But if they did address it in the draft, I also think it'll probably be – I think they're going to be a little gun-shy after Penny not working out quite as well. So I think it would be more of a a Cam Akers at that would probably be best case scenario for them, a guy that'll probably be late second round. But probably more than likely it'll be a guy that's a little bit later on in the draft, like
Zach Moss, maybe.
Yeah, Zach Moss, LaMichael Perine. It's his Perine or Perine? I think it's Perine.
I believe it's Perine, but I mean, we know who you're talking about. Florida's running back.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could be a guy like that. So, we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening there. But that would be my guess.
Yeah, I agree with Garrett. I could probably see him addressing that in free agency rather than spending a draft pick on it. But I feel like Cam Akers would fit
beautifully
Pete Carroll's style of running back. He likes those physical runners, and Cam Akers very physical and very explosive. That's why I also mentioned Zach Moss. You know, he's great. Between the tackles, he runs physical. I think those are two guys that would fit well there.
Ooh, another late sleeper I just thought of, Michael Warren. would be another one that might be
a Cincinnati boy.
Yeah.
Mr. Ohio.
Yeah. He might be a good fit as like a, you know, a fifth round guy that they bring in that could end up doing something.
So next we have the Cardinals, right? Who they do have Kenyon Drake, but he is a free agent. But they also have David Johnson, who is on contract till 2021. What do you think they do? Do you think they roll out with the David Johnson tour again and see if he could fix whatever virus he caught last year? Or do you think they get a new guy who, I mean, if you think about the Cardinals and they get one of those pass-heavy backs who can just be shifty out of the backfield and run a little bit on, like, outside zone plays, man, in that style offense, oof, show me the money.
No, it's a great landing spot, but I think Drake's coming back. I think they re-sign him to a decently team-friendly deal, kind of lay out the landscape of, hey, there's not a lot of landing spots, there's a lot of good rookies. We'll sign you, make you our lead back, but, you know, it's not going to be for any record-breaking money, and I think he'll be fine with that and make a home in Arizona.
Okay. Kenyon Drake's actually one of my sells right now. I feel like he ended the season on a high note. His future is kind of uncertain at the moment. I'm trying to get as much as I can for him now. But I think if they were to draft anybody, I feel like Anthony McFarland would be a nice little fit there.
Cool. Oh, yes. Definitely. I got him in all my Devy leagues. What's up?
Yeah, I like him. Himself.
So, real quick, Atlanta. Devontae Freeman is probably out the door, and they have no one, right? They have Judge Ito, but he is just not a starting running back. This is probably one of my favorite landing spots for running back. Now, I do believe that they could sign like a Melvin Gordon in free agency. I could see that.
Yeah.
But the rookie that they could take who is best fit for their team is who?
Oh, I thought you were about to say. I was like, I was waiting in anticipation. Right. I actually recently did a mock, and I actually mocked Jonathan Taylor to Atlanta. I think you could resurrect the Michael Turner career, and you can get similar to better production out of Jonathan Taylor.
I think that's a great mock. I think that he would fit perfectly there. Another guy I would like to see land Atlanta would be Elair, just with his pass catching ability.
Yeah.
I think it would just give them another weapon for Matt Ryan.
Definitely. He'd get to shine too, because they could use him in all facets of the game. Something that you probably saw on the show sheet that confused you was I had the Bears in this category, right? Who just drafted David Montgomery last season. I mean, David Montgomery, I feel like, and I could be totally wrong, I think he's about to get Wally Pipped, and or Trey Mason, if you want to call it. I just feel like he was drafted in, what, the third round? He was an okay prospect, more hype than reality. We saw this year that he's a little inconsistent, which it could just be the Bears, but I don't think it is.
What's that O-line was pretty bad, too.
Right, right. Yeah. But what's to prevent the Bears from taking a guy like, you know, Eno Benjamin or somebody who, yeah, he might go round three, but he's better fit for the offense?
The hard part with the Bears is they're already missing their first-round pick this season. So for them to use another top draft pick on a running back 2 years in a row seems unlikely to me. I think they're going to do their best to invest in that offensive line, if I had to guess. And they might even try to figure out that dang tight end position, because it's been rough. And I think that's something that Mitch Trubisky could really use, would be a good tight end. So my guess is that they don't go running back before the fifth round at best.
Yeah, I don't think they will either. I still think they believe in David Montgomery. He kind of came on there towards the end of the season. They had a lot of issues up front. They had a lot of issues just as an offense in general. So with that offense getting better, hopefully next year, I think that'll just result in more volume for Montgomery in his second year. I think they still stick with him next year.
All right. Last running back question. The sleeper backfield to finish with a top 10 rookie running back is...
Sleeper backfield to finish with a top 10 running back. So I feel like Miami's kind of obvious. Atlanta's kind of obvious. Houston's kind of obvious. I'm gonna go the Colts because I think there's still a lot of Mac truthers out there. And I think that there's a decent chance that if a running back that has any sort of pedigree, so like third round or better, gets in there, that they're taking that job. And that offensive line is so good that even if it was a fifth rounder, they can probably still become an RB1.
Okay. That's a tough question. What about Denver? What do you guys think about
that's
Denver?
That's a sleeper.
Phil Lindsay and Freeman are locked in there. I could see them definitely addressing that position.
I'm about to give up on my buddy Royce Freeman, man.
Yeah.
He seemed like the perfect picture. But I think he might have got too worn out in college with his almost 1,000 carries that he had. You know, he almost had 1,000 carries in college. You know how crazy that is?
It is crazy.
Jonathan Didn't Taylor David knows Johnson
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So real quick to wide receivers, right? Wide receivers, because I want to get to drop it like it's hot. Wide receivers – vet question. Who's your favorite quarterback wide receiver combo to acquire in Dynasty right now?
Baker, OBJ.
I think Garrett said that last year. I think he said that last
year. Hey, their value's low right now.
I don't think did because I don't think OBJ was in was in Cleveland.
True. Who did you say?
I think, if I remember right, I think I said, and this doesn't look super great now, so I should probably lie, but I think I said Carson Wentz, Alshon Jeffery, just because how cheap they were.
You did. Wentz wasn't bad this year.
Wentz wasn't bad. The Jeffery didn't pan out.
Yeah.
Haskins, McLaurin.
Ooh, Haskins, McLaurin.
I like that.
Let's not talk about Haskins too much yet.
Yeah, I like Baker OBJ more than that, though.
Man, I like DJ Moore and whoever the Panthers quarterback is.
Yeah, I have no issue with that at all. It'd
be tough to acquire, though.
Yeah, I'd give up.
It'd be expensive.
I'd give up to the 104 for him, for sure, and plus some. So, like,
oh yeah, I would easily for DJ Moore. I'd probably give up 101 for DJ Moore.
I would probably give up Juju and the 105 for DJ Moore. That's the high I would go. I'm so high on DJ Moore. Wait till you see those rankings that I've been trying to put up for the past 3 days. Wait till you see them.
Dude, they're getting that fixed.
Dude, I've put them up 3 times.
Oof.
It's frustrating, I know.
That's 6 hours of my life gone. Because I was dragging and dropping, bruh. And then trying to save, and it just didn't work. First time, it wasn't leaving the site. It was just like my computer decided to restart an update in the middle of it.
I'm going to go just because I think the price is a little bit depressed right now, especially with them just losing their offensive coordinator. I'm going to go Cousins and Diggs.
Oh.
I'm going to go Cousins and Diggs.
I like it. So
that's a good one.
I just need a name for this, right? I don't want to give away too much information because I do want to have you on for a post-combine show. This is the pre-combine rookie preview right here, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we're going to ask, who are you higher on than consensus regarding rookie wide receivers? I'm Gandy Golden.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But I'm not like, saying where
I think I'm right there with you with Gandy Golden.
I'm keeping quiet about him.
I'll say someone different, but I am high on Gandy Golden like you. I'm higher on KJ Hamler than consensus, I think.
Interesting. KJ Hamler.
Oh, man. That's tough. I feel like I have more hot takes in my running backs than I do my wide receivers. But I'll say, I don't know if this is a super hot take, but I'm going to say Bryan Edwards. He's my wide receiver five, and I've seen people not even have him in their top 10.
Right. So, disrespected.
Yeah. So so I'll say Bryan Edwards.
So what do y'all think about KJ from Ohio State?
Go ahead, J-Wack.
Senior Bowl, I mean, he's looking good this week. So it's a good opportunity for him to showcase himself. He's been kind of underrated, I feel. He's the career receptions leader at Ohio State.
Right.
Like, that's crazy. They've produced some ballers at wide receiver, you know? Right. Yep. So that's a feat in itself. I like KJ Hill. I don't think he's crazy good by any means. I think he's still a day three pick, third round rookie guy to target later in the draft, but I think he has an opportunity to be a solid pro, and he has a pretty high floor.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I like KJ Hill quite a bit. I do think people were sleeping on him most of the season, and it's tough because, you know, a lot of the focus was on J.K. Dobbins in the running game and how dynamic he was. But Hill quietly had another good season. Nothing crazy, nothing special. But I think he can do a lot. And I think if the right offense gets a hold of him, he can be an absolute weapon.
Great compliment to Michael Thomas.
They've been trying forever to get a wide receiver too, over in New Orleans there. And, you know, everybody every year always is trying to buy whoever they think the wide receiver two is. And they've never really been able to have more than two pass catchers produce at the same time. And so before it was Jimmy Graham and who was their main wide receiver for years?
Colston.
It was Graham and Colston. You know, now it's Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. I think, you know, the top two guys get fed. And then everybody else just kind of gets sprinkles.
I believe if you could put Traquan in the slot and put KJ on the outside at Z and have Michael Thomas moving around anywhere, or put Traquan at X and Michael Thomas in the slot where he racked up all those receptions this year, I think it'd be a good pairing. But I'm also a Saints homer, so ignore everything I just said. Now it's time to give, just real quick, I just want a name. I don't even want an explanation. I just want to know who you are lower than consensus on, and then I want the audience to just ponder why on earth would these people be lower than consensus on these people. Mine is Henry Ruggs.
I'll let you go, Garrett.
LaVisca Chenault.
Oh, shit.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
LaVisca.
I hate you both.
Can't stay healthy. He's had issues with his feet.
He's Alshon Jeffrey.
Now or Higgins young?
I think more Alshon Jeffrey than
now.
because not a good day.
So, oh shit, I'm so hot right now. Oh, it's because we're about to drop it like it's hot. Okay, quick fire questions, right? Quick fire questions. Y'all did not see that segue coming. Y'all thought I was really hot.
I did not.
Y'all really thought I was hot.
Smooth. I thought you were about to take the hoodie off or something.
I thought you said something else.
Okay. Most overrated quarterback. I want you to – basically all I want you to do, right, is I want you to just say – I just want you to give a name. I don't want any details. I'm not interested in that. I just want these fire takes, right? These fire, quick fire takes.
Are we talking rookies or are we talking vets?
Rookies. Okay. Rookies.
Who you want going first?
I don't know.
You go first, J-Way.
Whoever
I hate you, Gary.
Has the hottest take, right? Whoever has the hottest take, just boom, boom, boom.
So hot.
Like super hot. Okay, ready.
Hey.
Set. Most overrated quarterback.
Jordan Love.
Herbert.
Most underrated quarterback.
From.
Most overrated running back.
AJ Dillon.
DeAndre Swift.
Oh, you're so mean. Most underrated running back.
Keyshawn Vaughn.
Cam Akers.
Most overrated wide receiver.
Visca.
Jerry Jeudy.
Woo. Most,
just because everybody has him at one.
Most underrated wide receiver.
Brian Edwards.
Gandy Golden.
Most overrated tight end.
All of them. No. Albert O.
Albert Kangaskhan. I don't know his last name. I can't say it.
It's always Albert O. I never even attempt.
That's so disrespectful.
It really is. I need to learn.
I know, my bad, Albert. Hey, I'm changing my
mind. Isn't like Okeewambi or something like that? No, I don't know.
I can't say Jerry Jeudy because he's a dog.
Who are you changing it to then?
I rescind that. Henry Ruggs.
Yeah, good answer. Most underrated tight end.
Adam Trautman.
Oh. Harrison Bryant.
That's a good one.
I like that Cole Kmet dude from
Notre Dame.
Did I say his last name?
Yep.
I think he's tight end one.
I don't know. I like Thaddeus Moss. But
I haven't watched him yet.
But he has a learning curve. So, now that we got them hot fire takes out the way, right? All about that hot flame over here. Tight ends. Forgot to ask you. Most underrated kicker. I'm kidding.
Bo Blankenship.
Yo, Hot Rod, that's baby. Dude, don't mess with Hot Rod, bro. That's my boy. He's about to be kicker of the year easily. He might win rookie of the year, honestly, just because of the swag.
Is he going to the NFL this year? Was he a senior?
I think he was a junior. I don't know if he declared.
He'll get drafted.
He's a dog. He's a dog, dude. But rookie kickers barely ever make it now. So most owned vet tight end right now on your squads, who is your most owned vet tight end?
Jared Cook.
Probably Austin Hooper.
Okay, mine's Zach Ertz. Your best rookie tight end of this year. Just give me your bold prediction, best rookie tight end out of this class.
Probably Cole Kmet.
Yeah, see, I think Hunter Bryant might produce quicker.
He could.
Because he's just kind of set up to be that receiving tight end.
I like Bryant. Okay. Top five. So I want you to just give me five rookies that you are – all eyes are on them heading into the NFL Combine in Vegas on the water. So mine would be Jacob Eason, Cam Akers, Brian Edwards, Gandy Golden, and Cole Kmet.
Okay. I'll go Joe Burrow. I think he's going to run a 4.4.
Whoa.
You think Joe Burrow's going to run a 4.4?
I do, bro. I think he's way faster than people think.
Bro, but a 4.4? Like, a 4.6 is a fast quarterback.
4.5.
All right.
Low 4.5. All right. You're inching me off that.
Stick with it. 4.4.
That's a hot take.
That's super spicy.
J.K. Dobbins, Jalen Reagor, and Thaddeus Moss.
I'm going to go Henry Ruggs, Anthony McFarland. I think Jalen Hurts. Let's go with T. Higgins. And, of course, I'll just throw Keyshawn Vaughn.
I really do want to see how Michael Pittman does, man. I've been hearing a lot of good things about him.
Yeah, it will be interesting.
Him and then Anthony Gordon, too, from Washington State. He was actually the best quarterback regular season in the NCAA this past year, yard-wise.
Well, I was like, bro, I don't know. Yeah. Joe Burrow had a pretty good season.
He had the touchdowns. But yard-wise, which it's always Washington State's quarterback, right, with the Mike Leach system.
Right, yeah.
So I'd just like to see how he does because I always like watching those quarterbacks from Washington State. And then Omar Bayless, I don't know if he's the real deal or not.
It'll be interesting to see him.
Very, very interesting. And, I mean, I don't know. It's weird. I mean, some prospects you wish you could, like, I wish I could take qualities from some prospects and give them to others to make the perfect prospect. So, but we can't do that, right?
There's Madden for that.
Yeah, right. And there's trades and stuff. So some trades, I guess, that we do in our leagues are to make our teams better, make our team perfect in our eyes, yada, yada, yada. So I want to know, what processes do you go through when trading for or away draft picks? And what are some key factors you consider when making these trades? So just, it don't have to be anything specific, just kind of like the recipe that you follow for every trade. What is it? What is it? Whenever dealing with picks, draft picks, because this is the rookie preview, right? Previewing the rookie draft. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to acquire picks, this is what you should think about.
For me, the process that I go through is I do this with startup drafts as well when I try to trade draft picks in a startup draft, but I also do it with rookies. I like to try to put names and faces to those picks. So say somebody wants my 112. I'll go through and I'll look at my top 12 prospects. And so I know that, you know, at least one of those guys will be there. You know, and so I'm looking at the guys that are right around 10, 11, 12. Would I value whatever I'm receiving higher than I would value that specific player? And that makes it a little bit easier for me, because sometimes when it's just thrown out as a number, it's kind of like, I don't really know what the 12 pick, like what that would be, blah, blah, blah. So I like to try to put like actual names to it, and that helps me determine it a lot easier.
I like that, Garrett. It's a smart way to look at things. I do a similar thing in my head, and you know, it's all based on tiers for me. So like, if I think there's going to be a large tier one and I have like the 101, I'm going to look to trade back a little bit and acquire more draft capital or something.
Yeah, that's nice.
It all depends on your team too. Are you competing for a championship or are you still in a rebuild? Because I never like to be in the middle. I'm always either rebuilding or I'm going for the title. So I think people tend to overvalue draft picks, and you know, right around the combine, right when the draft's here, those values spike up. So I like to take advantage of that and try to acquire guys that are already producing that I know are going to get me fantasy points rather than, you know, a swing at the bat, you know. So that's the way I like to look at it.
I've never really rebuilt a team. Like, actually, I don't know. I've never been in the
market. I see you're going.
Right, right.
I see you're going for it now on the wire.
Right, that's what I was about to get to, dude. I'm giving it a shot, man. I might as well.
It's fun, bro. Honestly, it's fun.
I'm like, I'm stuck, and we got the Debbie prospect. So I'm figuring out. Well, if I'm a rebuild, at least I have future people coming my way, right? I got Anthony McFarland in this draft. He was a declare, and he was a redshirt sophomore. So
that worked out.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, something new. So something.
Take Zachary Tucker here,
dude. Everybody's on the block, bro. The only person that's not on the block that I would like to keep is Christian Kirk. But
yeah, he might take Cooper Kupp off your hands too,
dude. Everybody's for sale. I'm rebuilding, right? That's what I'm doing. So what I built the show on, right, was making smart moves, right, genius moves in your league. And the number one segment that we've always had, it's from day one. It was on the Trifecta Strategy episode. It's called Smart Theft. It's just making a move that's basically like theft because it's so smart, right? It's a clever name. I know, I thought of it myself. So some of the notable smart thefts that we have got on this show and bought were Lamar Jackson, pre-blow up, which, duh. Who else? Let's see. Running back-wise, it was Kareem Hunt. Wide receiver, the best one, had to have been, well, Paris Campbell didn't hit yet. I don't know. I can't remember the wide receiver. But anyway, that's for the historical show. This show, we're just going to hit a smart death, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to do a running back, wide receiver, tight end, quarterback, and these two boys will do the same. We'll get into sales, and then that'll be the end of the show, sadly. Cue the small violins. Okay. So the smart theft at quarterback that I am buying right now is my boy Sam Darnold. I've talked about it on all of the shows I've done recently. If I've guessed it on another pod or anything, I have mentioned Sam Darnold because that's my guy. That's the next quarterback one, and I've kept it on the wraps because I'm acquiring him everywhere. There's only three leagues I don't have him in. So if you're in one of those leagues, most likely you're going to be giving them to me. I have been offering in Superflex leagues, I've been offering nearly every rookie pick I have, like second through fifth round, and adding in like a Ryan Tannehill or something, because I am that firm of a believer. I'm that dedicated to getting him. Not really smart theft, though. Smart theft I would make for him in a Superflex league is move Jarvis Landry for Sam Darnold. That would be the trade I'd make. I think it's smart. Jarvis Landry had a pretty decent year, but I don't see him and Odell both succeeding in that offense. And I believe that Odell is the better playmaker.
I thought you said we were done with Brown stock.
Well,
you're alive.
Look, it never ends, dude.
It doesn't end. You're right. That was unintentional. that was a misfire. I would also trade Kenyon Drake for Sam Darnold in Superflex League. I'd do that because, first of all, I find quarterbacks are more expensive. Mm-hmm. And second of all, Sam Darnold is very cheap right now. A running back I would be targeting, smart theft-wise, would be Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb, I think in Kevin Stefanski's offense, we can see a Dalvin Cook type of season from Nick Chubb this year. And he has a good health track record.
Yep.
I'm not telling you what I would trade for Nick Chubb because a lot of people that listen to this show, you have Nick Chubb if you're in the listener leagues, and I am acquiring them from you. So I can't give away my secret, sorry. Another smart theft I am acquiring is A.J. Brown. You better get him now, ladies and gentlemen, because this guy is the next man up. I mean, I really do think he can be a consistent top 15, top 10 wide receiver, solid wide receiver 1 year in, year out. Now is your time to acquire him because this is the cheapest he will ever be. So go get him. I traded away David Montgomery in a second for A.J. Brown. And that is a trade I would also do. Tight end, the guy I'm targeting is none other than Dallas Goedert. I think Dallas Goedert really takes that jump this year. I think we can see a situation with the Eagles where they have two successful tight ends. So I am acquiring none other than Dallas Goedert. I think we can see a very good situation with the Eagles where we see two successful tight ends this year in that offense. I think he does take that next leap. He was doing it at the same time as Zach Ertz was producing last season. So why not get better? I think he can get better, especially if Carson Wentz stays healthy and if they don't address the wide receiver position like they should. They keep all the pieces there. I think he is set up for a prime season. So those are my smart thefts. One quarterback, one running back, one wide receiver, one tight end. I feel like I'm an auctioneer right now talking so damn fast. whoever wants to go first, man, whoever wants to go next. This is the like, this is what listeners tune in to hear. So you can't mess this up.
Ah, shit. So much pressure. I'm going to go again with Jameis Winston. You know, he was QB5 this year. I don't think he's being valued like that at all because of the uncertainty. So if you are able to acquire him right now, it could be a huge payoff down the road. Because once he does sign that contract, you know, he's under contract. So we know he can put up fantasy points. He's going to land somewhere and start. I can almost guarantee you that. So I think he's a huge buy right now. My running back would be Joe Mixon. I know Garrett's a huge proponent of Joe Mixon.
Yeah, buddy.
And yeah, I'm in the fan club. I love Joe Mixon. We all know that dude is talented. I mean, in that offense, he finished top 12, didn't he? Yeah, he's an RB1.
I think he actually ended up 13 right outside.
Okay. Yep. Right on the fringe.
Right on
so
the cusp.
We know they're probably taking Joe Burrow. We know what Joe Burrow can do. I think he's going to bring another element or level to that offense, and he's going to elevate everybody around him. So I think Joe Mixon is going to be a huge payoff if you're able to acquire him now. Similar, Odell Beckham. I think he's a buy low right now. People are down on him, especially after all his antics at the national championship game. I know I have a couple buddies trying to sell him in a couple leagues that I'm in because of that kind of stuff and just the fact that he didn't produce like we thought he was going to last year. I think that offense is going to take a step forward. I think Baker's going to take a step forward. And what you're going to be able to buy him at now, I think you're going to be able to sell him for more later. So I think he's a buy. And then Chris Herndon would be my tight end. DJ, you love Sam Darnold, so I think you should be all over Chris Herndon.
He's free. You know,
yeah, it's free. The only thing holding him back is Adam Gase. So we saw what he was able to do his rookie year. He's talented. He's good. You can get him for free. His value is only going to go up, I believe, after next season. So those are the kind of guys I want, guys that can buy low, sell high.
Y'all are really going to shit whenever you see where I have Joe Mixon in my rankings.
Is it because it's super high or super low?
I'm not going to say. I'm just going to say you're going to say, wow, this guy is either really, really, really high on him or he's really, really low on him. So
wow.
No, but like whenever you see it, you're going to be like, oh my gosh. Like it might be, he might be in my top five overall. I don't know. Overall dynasty rankings.
Wow.
He might be in my bottom like 30 running backs though. So
just you're a clown, bro.
Stay tuned, dude. Look, all I'm saying is I don't want to give too much, right? I don't want to give too much, but
if you have him at running back 30, I don't think I'm going to talk to you anymore.
That's fair.
Right. That is a fair statement. That's something I'm not even going to go there. Okay. I'm not even going to go there. No more Browns. No, not saying nothing.
Wow. Hey, you picked Nick Chubb.
Yeah, I did. You're right. So who's your smart thefts, Garrett? GMP 33 right here, hardcore facts.
Right here it is. I'm going to stick with who we talked about earlier in the episode. I'm sticking with Jared Goff at quarterback. For all the reasons I stated before, I think that offense takes a step forward. McVay isn't happy. And I think that they get that offensive line fixed and tuned up. So I'm going with Jared Goff at quarterback. At running back right now, I'm going with a bigger name than I was originally going to. But I'm going to go Alvin Kamara. I've been seeing a lot of trades for Alvin Kamara lately where people are selling him for peanuts. So I'm out there actively trying to get him wherever I can because I still think that he's going to be a legitimate RB1 for the next 3-4 seasons. At wide receiver, I'm going to take Terry McLaurin. The reason for that is, you know, we saw guys like, you know, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Deebo Samuels, like all these guys break out. Terry McLaurin had just as good a season as all of those guys, but you could argue that he had the absolute worst situation of all of it. He was the wide receiver one on his team, so he was constantly getting guys like Darius Slay covering him and whatnot. And it was really bad quarterback play for basically the entire season. Case Keenum was in there early, and you know he's very mediocre, and that's on his good days. And then Haskins came in there and was just a hot mess for his first 4 or 5 games. And then he looked much better towards the end of the season, a little bit closer to what we saw at Ohio State. So I think, you know, even when a guy can put up numbers like that, even in the worst of circumstances, give him another receiver to help, you know, take away some of the coverage, give him better quarterback play, anything out of the running game, and he's going to flourish. So that's my pick there. At tight end, I'm having a hard time deciding between two guys. One would be Mike Gesicki. He really came on at the end of the season, and we could see him really elevate his game coming next year. And Ian Thomas is another guy that I've liked for a long time. If Greg Olsen will just please finally retire, we can get Ian Thomas in there, and I think he's going to ball out.
Another tight end I like is Blake Jarwin, too.
Interesting. Ian Thomas has become one of my favorite players.
I like that one, Garrett.
He's talented, man.
Him, Nikhil, Deontay Johnson, those three players I've watched a little bit more of, and they've joined my stable of players, right?
There you go.
So I want to know who is your number one sell, period. Number one sell in Dynasty, period.
Number one sell in Dynasty. I'm trying to sell Adam Thielen. He's getting up there in age. I mean, he's still good. I wouldn't mind having him on my team right now, but I feel like his value is only going to continue to go down. So if I can get rid of him for a pretty penny, I would.
This is cheating a little bit, but I'm selling any running back that is in their second contract. Like, whether they're still good, whether they're still producing or not, I'm trying to get out as soon as I can.
Lev Bell,
I'm getting out from Todd Gurley. I'm getting out from even as talented as he is, and I still expect him to probably have another good season. I'm getting out from Zeke. You know, I think he's still worth a lot in the dynasty community, and I can't see him outproducing what his value is right now. So I think it's only going to trend in the wrong direction. And then you have a bunch of guys that are coming up on that mark. As incredible as he was, you know, Christian McCaffrey is not far away from that time. And, you know, it's saying, well, he's the freaking RB1. He was the top player. He had all these crazy amounts of catches, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but that means you can probably sell him for four legitimate first-round picks. And I'm always, especially at running back, more than any other position, I'm team get out 1 year too early than get out 1 year too late. Because if you bought Todd Gurley this year, if you bought David Johnson this year, if you bought Le'Veon Bell this year, you're frustrated because their value has tanked.
I bought Lev Bell in the wire league we're in right before the playoffs. And then he caught the stomach flu versus the guy I traded him that I bought him from. And I lost him because of that. Terrible.
You see, Garrett just now had to go and steal my thunder. I was going to say I'm selling Christian McCaffrey. But
I think it's a good move.
Shout out to Wise on that one.
See? Yeah. Shout out to Wise. He did win the league, that little bastard.
He sent me Lev Bell, and I sent him David Montgomery.
So I was going to say Christian McCaffrey because historically, right, you look at LaDainian Tomlinson in 2006 whenever he had that crazy season and put up 28 touchdowns. Well, in 2007, he had 15, so it almost decreased by half the production. Then he had D'Angelo Williams in 2008, put up 18, and then the next season it was 7 touchdowns. Then you had LeSean McCoy in 2011, who put up 17 touchdowns. And in 2012, guess how many he put up? 2. So the cliff is steep whenever you have a running back who hits that touchdown mark. Kind of like McCaffrey did this year, which he was super efficient, and McCaffrey is the best running back in football, right? But he had, I think, 15 touchdowns. I could see him with 8 next year, realistically.
Yeah.
I'm selling McCaffrey because of what I can get for him, not because I think it's the prime time to sell. I just like what I can get for him. If you can get 2 firsts this year and a 2021 first and then, like, usable pieces, like, yes. Sell him for the house. But one guy I'm selling is Mark Ingram, and that's because he's like 30, 31 years old, and Justice Hill is a real thing. So keep that in mind. I just want to say that
– Say it, baby.
I just want to say that Keyshawn Vaughn isn't that special price.
Wow.
Damn, he cut deep. I like Keyshawn Vaughn too.
And going back to my AJ Dillon part, right? So this is what I have to say about AJ Dillon. Now this show's winding down. You know, this is like right whenever all the bubbles pop in the bubble bath, and then you're like, I gotta get out. Right. So AJ Dillon, okay. I think he's best as a short yardage back, yes. But if he can be in a 2-down role, I think he can be very, very successful in today's NFL. If he goes to that type of offense, say the Tennessee Titans somehow don't retain Derrick Henry. If he goes to that type of offense where they got to grind him and they want to run that old school run up your mouth, uppercut you in the face, type of offense. I think he can be good there. He is not. He does not have good short area agility at all. Okay.
And he has no power.
You could see that in the Clemson game. I think he does have power.
He's
though.
Just big. Really
he runs so soft. Right. He's big.
He's big. He's so he's hard to take down. So that's just my opinion. I'm probably a little bit too high on him.
Let's do a bet. Let's do a Keyshawn Vaughn versus AJ Dillon bet.
No, because no one's gonna happen. I talk all this shit on the Browns. Somehow, some way, Keyshawn's gonna go to the Browns, and then he's gonna become like a top 15 running back. And then I'm gonna be like confused about every single thing I've ever done. I'm gonna be like, what? Where's Nick Chubb in all this?
AJ Dillon will get drafted in the 7th round.
Probably. This is probably like I'm probably gonna be much lower on him come combine, come you know further into the draft season. But
I'm already walking you back on it.
I like him where he's at right now. I just do. I do, and I don't know enough about Vaughn to make that bet.
Okay.
Yeah.
If we come back on it post combine, I'll probably make it. But what I will say is that Laviska will be a dog, bruh, and you don't disrespect my boy like that.
Viska,
I hope he is. I got him in a couple devies.
Viska has ability. He has raw, for sure, natural ability. He's a running back and a wide receiver. Well, it's not even really a wide receiver's body. It's more of just a big running back is really what he is. I mean, he has the ceiling to be an A.J. Brown-type player. So it's not that I dislike Viska. It's just I don't like to take a ton of risk with my first round picks. And chances are, if you're going to get him, you're going to have to take him in the first round. And that just feels too risky to me.
I just think you're a hater whenever it comes to Laviska, though. Like,
I just gave him an AJ Brown compliment.
Right. But honestly, AJ Brown, just touching on that real quick, I haven't seen.
He's a superstar.
Right, I haven't seen a receiver who can play every receiver position at that with that nuance and that, like, the flow of his game is so smooth. Everything he does is smooth. He has great bursts. I haven't seen that since probably the 4th year of Antonio Brown's career.
Yeah, or Odell's rookie year.
Odell, yes. I'm not a big Odell fan, though. Nothing against the Browns. Nothing against the Browns at all. I've never been an Odell fan. But, yeah. Like, A.J. Brown, man, he – looking back at it, that's kind of why I'm redoing my rankings, right? Redoing how I do my rankings, because I feel like I should have had him a lot higher, which I had him 6th overall, which it wasn't bad, right?
Right.
But I feel like there's something that I missed on him to where he was not top 3, and I want to figure out what that was.
Was that pre or post draft?
That was post draft. Okay. So
that was the same thing kind of happened to me, because he was my wide receiver 1 before the draft. He was my top guy. Then he went to Tennessee, and I allowed that to sway me a little too much, and he moved down to my wide receiver 4. Wide receiver 4.
I feel like everybody kind of did, you know? You have to.
That's kind of why, like, I'm going to where I much, I'm putting way huge on, like, I don't even know how to word it right now. I'm just trying to think.
Best player available?
No, just like, okay, wide receivers, right? I'm using more of burst and speed, because you look at every successful wide receiver. Hopkins, Antonio Brown, Amari Cooper, Devontae Adams, I'm just thinking of random wide receivers. They all have great burst. All of them. That is one thing that's universal in 90% of wide receiver success is their burst and their speed. See, not necessarily 40 speed.
I was going to say, because I don't see like Cooper and Adams and Nuke as like speed bursty guys.
Well, they're burst, not like necessarily.
Like in what way?
Like in and out of cuts, off the line, burst, like almost on a comeback, right? Not blow you away burst, but they have that great short twitch movement.
Sure.
where it's different between, go say, look at Michael Crabtree, or look at Julio, right? They win based on their physical specimens. But you have the new game right now, the new wide receivers that are coming to the NFL that are succeeding with just burst. The game's evolving, and I feel like I haven't been doing that, right? That's the main thing that I think I missed on A.J. Brown. The thing with running backs is just I gotta emphasize athleticism more. That's what I got to do. So those are the two parts of my process that I'm trying to get better, and that's why my rankings have not been out, folks. So whenever you tweet me and message me, hey, aren't your rankings here anymore, or your rankings disappeared, or, hey, do you have any new rankings? No, I don't. Stop asking. I'm trying to make it better. Okay, I'm trying to make it better. So, boys, this is the time of the show where it's kind of like on the Titanic, where both of you are on the piece of wood, and I'm on the piece of wood too. I'm on the door, whatever that was in Titanic, and I'm about to push you off.
I don't remember that part.
I get pushed back off.
This is Titanic Part 2.
Okay.
So, but I'm going to survive to see another day. You two, I'm going to have to fish you out of the water and bring you back later on. So, all I want to say to you right now is, yes, you are both Browns fans, and I know at one point you endured a lot being a Browns fan. I just want to thank you. Just want to thank you for being one of those true fans of the Browns. And I want to thank you for coming on this show, episode 2, season 3. Great season, too. Everything good comes in threes. Huge, 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 huge key to this season, ladies and gentlemen.
Major key.
Major key right there. Another so one. I just want to say thank you to GMP33, a.k.a. at Dynasty Price, and JWack at Jared Wackerly FF. Wackerly is spelled W-A-C-K-E-R-L-Y.
You got it.
There we go. Look at that. Look at that. So I just want to say a huge thanks to both of you, and for the listeners, donate to the show's Patreon, like always, to fund more content and ways to better improve the show as a whole. I'm working on the Dynasty Wire website where it'll just be for you patrons, right? Special shows, special guests, little videos and whatnot. You can follow both of these guys, right? At GMP underscore 33. I'm kidding. That's his old one. Just loved it so much. You could follow Dynasty Garrett or Dynasty Price, right? Whatever you want to call him. He is just – he does a lot of good things. He puts out a lot of – I think it's very moving little videos he does. You'll see what I'm talking about whenever you check out his Twitter. It's at Dynasty Price. At Dynasty Price. He is a must-follow. Another must-follow is Jared, J-Wack, right? At Jared Wackerly FF. Wackerly is spelled W-A-C-K-E-R-L-Y. FF, formerly Fantasy Jimbo. That was him, formerly Fantasy Jimbo. I'm the Draft Genius. You can find me at the Draft Genius. You know all about that. And I'm on Superbot. The Wire Part 2 is taking applications right now. I have about 20 or 30 that I have in my email. So, Devi, Dynasty, IDP League, I will enforce that the winner gets a college jersey of their choice. Can't be no crazy player like their fifth string fullback or nothing like that. Got to be somebody decently known that I could find a jersey for. But I promise you, I will give you a prize. I might even get you a trophy. The Wire Part 2, ladies and gentlemen, is coming soon. Taking all applications now. Listen to that commercial. You have a chance at that contest. Boys.
It's a fun league.
Yeah, the Wire 1 is definitely.
We're both in the Wire Part 1. I loved it. So
I'm trying to get a little bit more interactiveness, right? That's what I'm trying to do. I'm deleting a few of my leagues and trying to make it more. If I'm hosting a league, I'm making more interactive as much as I can. So all that aside, ladies and gentlemen, this is GMP33 and JWack's shining moment. This is where you talk about whatever you got going on in your life, whatever you want to say, anything you want to like promote that you're doing right now. Like, be my guest, man. You just gave me an hour and a half of your time, and this is all you right now. This is a huge thank you. Thank you. The floor is yours.
Go ahead, J-Wack.
Okay. Well, appreciate you having us on, DG. It's been a long time coming. I wanted to come on last year, but I forget what happened. Things fell through. But thank you. Right now, Garrett and I are actually we're rolling out a new Twitch stream, you know, where we're hopping on whenever and just watching tape with guys. So last night, Garrett wasn't able to get on, but we had Ray G on with me and Nick Whalen on with me. We're just hanging out on Twitch, watching film, breaking it down. So come on there. Just follow me on Twitter. You'll see when we're going live. Come hang out. Follow us on there. Then we're rolling out the rookie profiles right now on DynastyNerds.com. So help yourself get prepared for the drafts coming up. We got all our writers breaking down your rookies. So pay attention to that and follow me on Twitter. Thanks, DG.
You know, with also being at Dynasty Nerds, we have a lot of the same stuff going on. So, you know, I'm going to plug you. You mentioned it real quick. I'm doing a series that, and I keep calling it a series. It's something I plan on doing for a while, but called Faith in Fantasy Football. Basically what I do, I take my faith as a Christian very seriously. And so I also take my fantasy football very seriously. So took two of the most important things in my life, put them together, and you get Faith in Fantasy Football. So it's only about 10 minutes, but it's a good way to just kind of hear a new perspective, especially if, you know, Christianity, faith in God, Jesus, all that stuff. You're like, yeah, I'm not so sure about it. I'm not sold on that. You know, you can hop in and you can just give it a try. I try to make it relevant with things that are currently going on in fantasy football or different things that apply to the NFL or this game that we love. So give it a shot. 10 minutes. If you don't like it, you don't have to keep coming back, but I think you'll enjoy it.
One other thing I did want to add is if you aren't a Nerd Herd member yet, get yourself signed up. It's $3 a month. And I think our best tool right now for everybody is our rookie prospect film room.
Yep.
So we have all the rookies listed and we have up to 7 videos for each prospect where it's every single play that they're on the field, they're highlighted. And as soon as they're off of that play, it's going to the next one. So you can get 3 games in 20 minutes of DeAndre Swift or something, all his plays from those games. So really valuable tool if you're into watching tape and getting better at that. Check it out. It's only $3 a month.
It's a vibe, ladies and gentlemen. It's a wave. You just got to hop in the ship. But unfortunately, I'm kicking Jared and Garrett off the boat with me because I like to ride solo. You know how it is. So don't forget to donate to Rob's fund, GoFundMe account. Help him out. That's what Sleeper Wire is. You know, we do it. Do it for the love. Do it for the charity. That's what we do. I don't make any money talking to y'all. You know, I do it for a good cause because that's what it's about, being good to others. So that's it. Simple as that. And one last thing. This year's top 10 quarterback will be Sam Darnold. And I firmly believe after messing with Garrett that Keyshawn Vaughn will work his way up to be one of the top 5 horsemen of this running back class.
There it is. Came full circle. I love it.
And we're out. Everybody, I have a quick contest for you. The question is, who was the first guest on Dynasty Wire Season 2? Answer that and you can win a free subscription to expandtheboxscore.com. You can't get any better than that, so take advantage of this deal.